So I get the human being thing and why both in benign and security ways that could be useful. You're working on plant species as well.
Exactly. So 5, 6 years ago, we had wanted to see whether we could take some of the technology that we were developing in the face domain and look at other biometrics. And so I have a colleague down at University of Maryland, David Jacobs, and we got together and we started thinking about this. And my son at the time said, "Dad, wouldn't it be amazing if you had a cell phone and you could photograph a plant and it would tell you what it was?" I said, "Oh, that's exactly right. That would be amazing." And he drew me a little diagram.
This is a perfect technology for little kids to be into, isn't
Yeah, he
it?
was just, he loved it. He drew this diagram. I don't know, I keep it in my office. And so that's what we've been working on. And so this is an ongoing collaboration with folks at the Smithsonian to try to speed up the process of species identification. There's, species disappearing off the planet at alarming rates. And so they care very much about finding species that are now unknown to science before they're gone. We went and we cataloged all the trees of Central Park and all the trees of Rock Creek Park. And now, fortunately, we have support from a benefactor that I can't name to do this across the United States.
A
So
Bond villain, it sounds like.
yeah, but what we really want to do is have people use this and over time collect the data. So where is the flora?
So you actually crowdsource that bit of science.
Exactly. So slowly we'll map the distribution of flora across the United States, in this case trees, and see the ebb and flow of the species.
How interesting. It would seem like a leaf, and I assume that in the case of trees is what you're having people, what you're photographing.
Exactly.
That sounds, compared to, a smiling middle-aged Asian guy with glasses, a much easier task, is it?
Well, for certain species, it is a much easier task. To look at a red oak from a sugar maple, that's not so hard. But there are a lot of leaf shapes that are quite similar. So if you look at a birch and a cherry and so on. And so that's where things get a little tricky.
So in that case, a birch and a cherry, does it know, boom, that's a birch?
Well, there are other clues. So if you look at the margin of the leaf, what's happening around the perimeter. There's teething there that's specific, say, to the birch and not the cherry.
But I'm saying the feedback that your iPhone app gives isn't, we think it's a birch. It knows it's a birch?
We never know.
Oh.
That we I mean it's a you can't
It's a
much like a Google
probability
search.
thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so we rank order them. And we say this is what we believe it is and then we have these
Oh, you
images.
scientist, right?
Well, we didn't want to overpromise.
Absolutely.
And then you have these images and then you just touch on what it on the species it thinks it may be, and then it brings up these nature photographers go out and photograph all of these species with incredible accuracy. And then from those photographs it's really easy to make the final positive ID.
Becoming a computer scientist in the 1980s, 90s, you could have gone in any number of which ways. What drew you to this, to recognition, facial recognition, species recognition?
I did a little bit of this as an undergraduate, and then in graduate school, I had an advisor who was he's a mathematician, and he was just brilliant, and it was just hard not to be drawn in by the things he thought were important and why.